Today is November 1st, year 2008, the Feast of All Saints Day. I'd like to thank all the saints for all the gifts and help they've given us in the past year, and thank them for all the help they're going to give us in the upcoming year. And without the intercession and help of the saints, we cannot be saved. God saw fit that He was going to use all His faithful chosen people to help one another save their souls in a great bond of charity. Even though Jesus is the one mediator without which nobody can be saved, He didn't say there's not going to be mediators under Him. Mary is the number one mediator that all prayers and all graces come through and go to Christ. Then Christ takes it to the Father in unity with the Holy Ghost. And then the saints also intercede. This All Saints Day was instituted because there are many people that are saints in heaven right now who were never declared saints or recognized as saints, some for legitimate reasons, some for nefarious reasons. Legitimate reasons are because saintly people are humble, and sometimes God doesn't want them to manifest their virtues to the world. Many times God does want the saints to manifest their virtues to the world so that we can imitate them and become like them and become good Catholics. And all the great saints that were called to go out in public and do miracles and manifest their virtues to others, they were reluctant to want to do it because of all the attention they were going to get, and it was a great burden to them. But at the same time, they understood God was going to use them to convert other people by their good example. But there's other times when you have saints that live their whole life anonymous that we may not even know about. A housewife in Italy, a good Catholic housewife, and saintly in all her prayers, could be a saint and we don't even know it, because she was never made manifest to the public. But there's another type of saints that were not made saints, and this is for nefarious reasons, diabolical reasons, because of theophilosophy mythology, because from the 16th century onward, you started to liberalize and you started to get a breakdown already there. And the really good theologians, and I'm going to have plenty of proof of this, that were really fighting out against theophilosophy and against the new modern era that started with philosophy and mythology, were being shoved into the background. They were being silenced. They were being quieted, because the so-called modern Catholics don't want to fall into disfavor with the wicked world. So they ignore these people that should be saints. Absolutely should be saints. And so we don't know how many of these people are really saints and were ignored, shuffled out, thrown into the mountains. And these are the particular saints we want to evoke even more, because what they saw going on in their day was very sad indeed. All right. Now, the fact that of saints, though, the veneration of saints, the praising of saints, you know, where it's our duty to praise the saints, to thank God for the saints, because the saints is proof of God's great graces and His great glory. The saints show us what God's grace can do in a man, how God can convert a heart. And it also proves that men with free will are bound to cooperate with that grace. There's two things that make a saint. First and foremost, God's grace, without which we can do nothing. You can't even take your next breath without God's grace, let alone have a good thought. And you need God's grace to keep you physically alive even. But then the second element is the saints have to cooperate with that with their free will and serve God perfectly in obedience to all of His commandments. And when we look at the saints, they're trophies of God. And it proves against the Protestant heresy where all you got to do is believe in Jesus. You don't got to do anything else. You know, that's why they don't like the saints. The saints are great examples of the cooperation with God's grace too, which is the important element, lends us to thank the saints. Every time I'm praying, I first thank God for creating St. Francis of Assisi, first of all. Then I thank God for giving him all the graces to make him a holy man and to protect him in his life to keep him holy. And then I thank St. Francis of Assisi himself for cooperating with God's graces so perfectly. Oh yes, he earned merit. But by the grace of God. As St. Augustine says, we can't even earn merit unless God's grace goes before us. But when God's grace goes before us, we must cooperate with that grace and produce fruits. And who do we have to give the most thanks to? Who cooperated the most? With her own free will, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She wasn't just made the Mother of God by chance, as if this blasphemy of the Protestants is true, in which they say Mary was just like any other woman. Oh no, she was not. And I always tell them, was she Jezebel? Would God have chosen Jezebel? And the Protestants say, well, no, God wouldn't have chosen Jezebel. Why not? Because she was a rotten woman. She was a reprobate. She was not of the elect. Mary cooperated perfectly with God's grace. So when we praise the saints, we're thanking God. And we're praising these people for being faithful to God. And we're supposed to imitate them, because if they did it, we can do it. They're human, we're human creatures. They're human creatures. If they can become perfect and holy, we can become perfect and holy. We read about that in the Old Covenant era. Always God's chosen people venerated the saints that were heroes. of the true religion. Join the old covenant, Ara, the God of Israel, the Israelites, the Jews, were the holders and possessors of the true religion. You read in the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 44 through 50, and it starts out, St. Jesus, son of Sirach, who authored that, let us praise the men of renown. Let us praise the men of renown. Even Jesus praises the saints himself. Jesus talks about Jonah. He talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob being in heaven in Matthew 8, 11 to 12. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. He talked about the praises of St. John the Baptist after they killed him. And Jesus said he was the greatest of all the prophets on earth. And he was praising John the Baptist. Jesus Christ was praising John. Let's read it. In Matthew 11, 7 to 14. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with a wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before my face, who shall prepare thy way before me. Amen, amen, I say to you, there is not risen among them that are born of women greater than John the Baptist. He's praising John the Baptist. Jesus, God himself, praises his own trophies, loves them tenderly, and gives them their well-earned reward. And the Protestants don't want to give that reward. They hold it back and they act as if it's a chopped liver to make a saint. This is the whole purpose Christ and God came to save mankind so that we may cooperate with God. And they want to take those praises away from John the Baptist. Now, if the Protestants admit that God himself praised John, who are they to take away us Catholics when we praise and honor and venerate the saints who are holy before the sight of God? It's throughout the whole scriptures. We talk about St. John, the beloved St. John in the book of the Apocalypse when he's up in heaven. And he's conversing with none other. First he thinks it's God because he bows down before him. And the brother says, no, bow not down not before me. And don't adore me because I'm not God. And here's what he says. I am, this is Apocalypse 22:9, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and them that keep the words of the prophecy of the book. John's in heaven. Speaking to the prophets. That's the existence of the saints in heaven, praising and glorifying God and interceding for us. Now, you have all the great saints in the beginning of the church. You had, as always, heretics are always trying to corrupt the church by their heresies. And that's why we have automatic excommunications and decrees that we must avoid them at all costs, even before declaratory sentences, and then denounce them to the proper authorities. And the day when you stop doing that, all hell breaks loose, even within the church. That's what happened in the great apostasy. I'm going to just read from some great saints of our brother Francis of Assisi, from the Little Flowers of St. Francis, to just talk about the existence of the saints in heaven, and how they help us, and how they assist us, and the reward that awaits us if we stay faithful. And all the help that we have from heaven, even now, that the help we have from them. And I want to read from two short stories from the Little Flowers of St. Francis. And the first one's, the chapters are different because you have different versions of these books. Here it says chapter 51, but it might be different in other books. And it says, of the holy brother James of Falerone, and how after his death he appeared to brother John of Alvernia. At the time when Brother James of Falerone, a man of great sanctity, was dangerously ill in the convent of Mogliano, in custody of Fermo, Brother John of Alvernia, who was then living in the convent of Massa, hearing of his illness and loving him as his dear father, began to pray for him, imploring God most devoutly in prayer to restore to Brother James the health of the body, if such were the good of his soul. That's very important because he said, Lord, you may want him to die because he's in a state of grace to go to heaven. He lives longer, he may end up in mortal sin and go to hell. As he prayed, he was wrapped in ecstasy, and he saw in the air a great army of angels and saints above his cell. Saints that vigilantians refused to believe are in heaven. Which was in the forest. They were surrounded by such splendor and glory that all the country around was illuminated. Among the angels, he saw the said brother James, clothed in white and shining raiment. He saw also the Holy Father, Saint Francis, with the sacred stigmata of Christ on his hands and feet. Most glorious. He likewise beheld brother Lucido, the Holy, and brother Matthew of Monte Rubiano, and many other brothers whom he had never seen nor known in his life, all in heaven, all saints, all shining in splendor. And as he contemplated with the great delight that holy band of saints, it was revealed to him that the sick brother for whom he had been praying would die of the disease whereof he was lying ill, and that his soul would be saved. That's the point. God saw fit that if this brother lived any longer, he may have committed a mortal sin, died out of a state of grace, and went to hell. First, everyone's going to die anyway. But when you're in a state of grace, death is your best friend. If you die in a state of grace, you're saved. So in his case, this sick man was in a state of grace, and now the God can let him die and go to heaven. But he says, but that he would not go straight to heaven after death, as it was necessary he should be purified for a time in purgatory. He needed to go to purgatory. But he saved. And this revelation made to Brother John filled his heart with such joy that he did not grieve over the death of Brother James, but experienced great sweetness in his soul. And he said within himself, Brother James, my sweet father, Brother James, my sweet brother, Brother James, faithful servant, friend of God, Brother James, companion of the angels, and one of the army of saints. And as he was thus rejoicing, he came to himself. And leaving the convent, immediately he went to visit Brother James of Moliano, and found him so much worse that he could scarcely speak. Then he announced to him the death of his body, and the salvation and glory of his soul, of which he was certain through divine revelation. And Brother James received him most joyfully, thanking him for the good news he brought, and praying him devoutly not to forget him. Brother John begged him after death to come to him, and tell him where he was, and how it fared with him, which Brother James promised to do if it should please the Lord. The moment of his death approaching, Brother James began to repeat with great devotion the verse of the psalm, In pace in indipsum dormiam et requiescam, which signifieth, I will go to sleep in peace, and I will rest in life eternal. And having said these words, he left this world with joyful countenance. When he was buried, Brother John returned to the convent of Massa, and there awaited the accomplishment and a promise of Brother James that he would appear to him after death. As he was in prayer that same day, Christ the Blessed One, they call Christ the Blessed One, appeared to him, surrounded by a multitude of angels and saints. But Brother James was not with them, which thing greatly surprised Brother John, who recommended him most devoutly to Christ the Blessed. The following day, as he was again praying in the forest, Brother James appeared in the company of angels, his countenance beaming with joy. The brother said to him, O most dear father, why didst thou not appear to me on the day thou promised? Brother James answered, because it was necessary that I should be purified in purgatory, but at the same hour that Christ appeared to thee, in which thou didst recommend me to him, he granted thy prayer, and I was freed from all suffering. And I appeared to Brother James of Massa, a holy lay brother who was serving Mass. And I saw the consecrated host, which when the priest lifted it up, changed into a beautiful living child. And I said to him, this day I shall go with him to life eternal, where none can go without him. And having said these words, Brother James disappeared and went up to heaven with a holy company of angels. And Brother John was greatly comforted. The said Brother James of Falerone died on the vigil of St. James the Apostle in the month of July in the above-named convent of Moliano, and through the merits of the divine goodness wrought many miracles after his death. Many things in here. We have how the prayers of this holy brother expiated the punishment due for his that he had to suffer in purgatory so he can be liberated sooner, and so which Christ can bring him up to heaven. The Holy Eucharist is in here, that it's the precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, how powerful the Holy Eucharist is. The intercessions of the saints and how powerful they are for us on earth, and the existence of the saints in heaven. And we're going to end up by one more story from here, from the Little Flowers of St. Francis. Now, brother, these are true saints that we have to follow in their simplicity and holy love of God. They weren't sitting around in universities talking about how many angels can fit on the head of a pin in theophilosophy, bantering it back and forth. They went out and lived the Word of God. And don't kid yourself, they were very wise and smart men. They knew the dogmas. They knew them like the back of their hand. They'd profess them. They would live by them. And nobody would be able to hoodwink the simple brothers of Francis with this theophilosophy. Now we're going to go into the last one I'm going to read here. It's chapter 46 in this version of the Little Flowers. And the title of the chapter is How Brother Pacifico, being in prayer, saw the soul of Brother Umili, his brother in the flesh, go up to heaven. There were two brothers. You know, it's amazing. Who would you rather trust? St. Francis of Assisi and his brothers and all these miracles, the holy monk of Christ, or these Protestant bastards? And what right do the Protestants have to say they have a dedication and devotion to Francis, like some of them do, but they don't believe in the dogmas of Francis? You're not believing in the true Francis. They even turned Francis into a socialistic hippie and massacre what he really stood for. But you have, if you're going to believe in Francis, you better swallow the whole package. What hypocrites they are. And these modern ecumenists let them get away with it. And say that these Protestants could be of good faith and they can go to heaven in the condition they're in. Each and every Protestant is full of bad faith, is rotten to the core, and is full of bad will until they convert and come into the Catholic Church. If they do have good will, ultimately God will get them out of their Protestant religions and bring them into the Catholic Church before they die. And that's my hope, that this preaching also will help these Protestants. Much as I rail against them, God still loves them, and I love them, because they're alive and they have souls and they need to be saved. So I'm doing it for your own good, you Protestants. I'm trying to get you to get away from these wolves that have been teaching falsehoods and from your own falsehoods in your own life. But let's read now this beautiful story here. There were two brothers of the province of Anconia who entered the order after death of St. Francis. One was named Brother Umili, and the other Brother Pacifico, both of whom attained a great degree of perfection and sanctity. Brother Umili lived in the convent of Sofiano, and there he died. Brother Pacifico lived in another convent at some distance. It pleased God that Brother Pacifico, being one day in prayer in a solitary place, was rapt in ecstasy, and he saw the soul of his brother, which had just left his body, go straight to heaven, without any hindrance. Many years after this, Brother Pacifico was sent to the convent of Sofiano, where his brother had died. At the time when the friars, at the demand of the lords of Bruforti, changed their convent for another and were removing the remains of the holy brothers who had died there. Then the grave of Brother Umili was opened. His brother took his bones, and having washed them in wine, wrapped them carefully in a white napkin, weeping over them, kissed them with great devotion. The other brothers were much surprised that he should set them such a bad example, for they could not understand how a man so holy could show such carnal affection towards his brother, honoring his remains so far above those of the other friars, who, not being less holy than Brother Umili, were worthy of like honor. What he's saying here is they had no knowledge he was a saint. This brother did. He says, why are you doing so much for them and not the other brothers? He thought it was carnal affection. Like on earth, if you love somebody carnally more than somebody in the monastery, so much so where it's an inordinate affection, he's saying, just because you loved this guy so much when he was on earth, what does that mean? That's nothing. You don't know if he was really that good. You're showing indifference to the other brothers as if they're chopped liver. Like me digging up the bones of one of our other brothers here, and you're all being equal, and I'm giving over affection to the others, and I'm letting you others not get the same honor. That's what he's saying. He said, did you love him more than the other brothers on earth inordinately, so that you're just thinking about him carnally when he was alive? That's what they're looking at here. That's what's happening. And so he goes, then Brother Pacifico, knowing how he was misjudged by the brethren, humbly explained to them his conduct, saying, my most dear brothers, be not surprised if I honor the bones of my brother above those of the other friars. For thanks be to God, it is not through carnal affection that I do this, but because when my brother left this life, I was praying in a solitary place, very far from the convent where he lay dead, and I saw his soul go straight to heaven. Wherefore I am sure that his bones are holy, and he will be honored in heaven. He's saying, I am honoring a saint. This body that belonged to my brother, his soul is now in heaven before the throne of God. That's how we venerate the saints. He says, and if the Lord had revealed to me the same things of the other friars, I would treat their bones also with equal reverence, which also shows why we treat with reverence those bones. The head of St. John the Baptist. Even I would imagine a Protestant that denies relics in the honor of the saints would still be amazed to look upon the head of John the Baptist. That's John's head. That's a holy head. That head died serving God. His soul's now in heaven. He's going to be reunited with that very head on the general judgment day. That head is going to be in heaven for all eternity. And those ashes, when they come together in the form of a body. So this is great. And also, you're learning too about, they're thinking their brother didn't know he was a saint and just liked them on the natural plane or carnal plane more than the other brothers. And it wasn't that at all. And he's proven, and he says, and then the brethren, being convinced that his intentions were holy and just, were greatly edified by what he had told them, and praised God who did such wonderful things for the holy friars. Amen. St. Francis of Assisi and all your holy brothers in heaven, pray for us. Keep us on the straight road, and we invoke you, especially in this upcoming year, to grant me and all of us in Mary's Little Remnant to work together like a perfect army, each one doing whatever job God puts before us. And give me all the graces I need to attack these theophilosopher bums that replaced the true saints and overthrew everything and began the great apostasy, who are absolutely adverse to the true Catholic way of life. Francis has been always helping me. He's the number one saint. Other than Mary, she's above all the saints. Of course, she's first. But Francis was one of the number one saints God used to convert me and still to inspire me. Okay, and so we honor and we venerate the saints. We as Catholics abide by the dogma of the saints in heaven, even though canonizations are not infallible. Those are two different issues. And that's important to what we're going to be talking here too. Because either some of these modern day saints are true saints, and the old ones are false saints. Or the old ones are true saints, and these new ones are false saints. You can't have it both ways. This is all stuff I've been revealing to you, and we're going to be revealing more and more as we come with, as we show you more and more evidence of what's going on. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.